You know, it is a new year, and with that new year, sometimes people make resolutions. I bet we don't have three resolutions in the house today, because most of the time we don't make them, because we don't often keep them. You know, there's a kind of a cool thing, though. I heard this year. It's kind of a wrinkle on the resolution idea, and I know I mentioned it in the church newsletter. Hey, if you don't get the church newsletter and you want to get it, write your email address and put it on that yellow card, and we'll get you the newsletter. We'd like to increase our viewership, our readership of that vehicle for us. But I mentioned in it that I've heard, and it's not my idea, I just hear people are talking about it. Instead of doing a traditional resolution, which we make and then we break and then we don't keep and then we say we don't do them anymore, there is something going around that's called the one word for the new year. Have you heard this? Yeah, some of you have. And it's kind of a cool idea. It's a little variation on it, but it really might be a vehicle for us to kind of keep our perspective and our attitude as we move into the new year. The idea is this, is that you pick a word, whatever that word might be, that you think would help you in some way that's going to encompass how it is you would want to approach this new year. But I have a good friend who said that their word for this year was pace, because oftentimes they get a little crazy, and so the idea of pace was going to be an important thing for them. Another friend said that their word was peace, because for all the things that go on that make life crazy, they wanted to always hold that. This is my word, even especially when I'm starting to feel kind of panicked. I read about somebody who said that his word was grace, because he realized that how quick he was to get impatient with people, and he needed to extend grace, more grace to those around him, and also to extend a little bit more grace to himself when he got down on himself. Friends who've said that their word is going to be discipline, because they need order in their life. If you read the newsletter, you saw that my word was going to be trust, and I rooted that out of that passage we did last week, the Proverbs 3 passage of our call to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and again, how that can fit. So I'm not going to ask you to give me your word, unless you got it. No, okay, we'll go on. But just think about that. What one word would be a good word to move into the new year saying, this is my word for 2022. The word for the sermon today would be the word faith, because we're going to be opening up today a series on the life of Abraham and how it applies to us, because all of us are invited to live by faith. That becomes hard for us because we as human beings, we tend to want to live by control. We want to live by certainty. We want to do everything we can. And there's part of this which is good, but part of it gets in our way of seeing God, resting in God, and trusting in God, because we become so independent. And we're invited to walk by faith. And we see that as we look into the Bible, and especially in the life of Abraham, there are lessons abundant throughout. As we look at Abraham's life, we'll see there are going to be keys for how we can better walk by faith. We're going to also see pitfalls, common, normal, things that we probably also are going to resonate with, where Abraham struggled with as he sought to live by faith, but imperfectly, because he too was human. And we'll be able to see again, I think, lessons for us as we move into this year to how to bring our faith more to bear on our life, and allow it to not only affect us, but then to be shared with those around us. And so today we're going to be talking about faith. In the letter to the Hebrews, this is a New Testament book, maybe you've heard of it. It says in chapter 11 that faith is confidence in what we hope for, there it is, and the assurance of what we do not see. That letter, Hebrews, that whole chapter is all about faith and those who have walked by faith in the past and how it manifests itself. Later on in that same section, it's going to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I think at our core, that is something that we want to do, isn't it? We want to please God. But sometimes it's our selfish drive, it's our need for control, it's our my way, not his way attitudes that kind of come out that cause us to struggle with that. And we want to overcome that. So Faith is critical for us. It is something that we should yearn for and we should desire. Just a few verses further down in verse 8, it comes up to our hero of the faith, Abraham, today. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This is one of the funniest, to me, one of the funniest lines in all the Bible. I mean, Abraham, like all of us, had no clue where he was going, and yet he went. Do you know anyone like that? This was pre-GPS days, okay? Where are you going? Well, I think I'm going there. Well, why are you going that direction? Because you're going the wrong way. Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know. Abraham, it says, by faith, went to the place that God would later give to him as an inheritance. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know the path. This is where we're going to start off today. This key thing for us as we open a new year, that we often want a path. We want a roadmap. We want to know. We want to plan. And yet sometimes when this walk of faith is most critical for us, we have to release that and simply say, God, guide me. I'm not going to ask for hands, but I can imagine there would be all over the place if I were to ask for hands today, that you find yourself in a situation where you are getting kind of white-knuckled about what's coming next. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get through it? You know, all of the things that come up for us because we are human, and yet maybe the answer is going to be in this Abraham pattern we're going to look at briefly here in just a moment. To say it's not a roadmap, it's about walking by faith, even if we cannot see what even the destination is, let alone what the course is going to be. Okay, so to introduce us to Abram, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles or open your Bible apps, and we're going to be starting in Genesis chapter 12. For those who don't know your Bible very well, Genesis is the very first book in your Bible, and so it's easy to find. Chapter 12 is where that says big lever 12. It's not that hard either. I don't mean to make light of it, but that's how the Bible begins to open up for us. It is here that we get introduced to a character who's going to be a significant character for the Bible, but also for us, and his name is Abraham. If you want to read ahead and see some of the other lessons or try to anticipate what some of the other lessons are going to be, go ahead and start here in 12 with me today, but then go ahead and read forward, because Abraham's life is going to be kind of captured during the next 12, 13 chapters. He goes from about chapter 12 to chapter 25 in the book of Genesis. This is the life of Abraham. It's a lot of time. If you put it in context, we have thousands of years probably in this time before chapter 12. From the in the beginning was God and he creates all that is to this point here in chapter 12. And chapter 12 here slows down to give us a very intimate picture of a man who walked by faith. Okay, so to capture this idea, I want to just start here. For those who need a road, anyone here like road maps? I know you don't. I love them. Yes, I'm talking to my wife. I know she doesn't like road maps, and actually, when I want a road map, it drives her nuts. But that's okay. When she wants nothing to do with a map, it drives me nuts. So I guess it's fair. Yeah, it makes us, that's a good match, right? We make each other crazy. I mean, we fit together. That's what I meant. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Val. Those like roadmaps. I'm going to throw this map up here for you. This is a picture of what is today what we would call the Middle East. Abram, which is what he's called at this point in the story, he will later be called Abraham. We'll talk about that at a week farther ahead. He is born in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. It's near the Persian Gulf. Today, we would say that's in the area of Iraq and Iran, and it's right there where he was born. And actually, most all of our Bible up to this point in chapter 12 probably is rooted in this area. Everything from the Garden of Eden all the way through to, you know, the flood and Noah and the Tower of Babel and all those other stories that we find in the early part of Genesis are probably all going to be in that area there near the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers there that we call the Middle East. Abram is born here. His father, Terah, is kind of the patriarch of the family at this point, and he decides that they're going to move. They're going to leave this place called Ur, and Terah and his family, at least two of his sons, travel along with him, Abram and his brother Naran. His brother. His name is not important for our story today. Nahor, there you go. Yes, they went with their dad to a place called Haran. Now, Haran up there in the north, you can kind of see where it is. That's where they go, and eventually his father is going to die there. And so Abram kind of becomes the patriarch of his own family. And it's that point that we catch up in chapter 12, where God now calls Abram, who started in Ur, now is in Haran, and he's going to call him to what we refer to as the area of Canaan or Israel or Palestine, whatever word you want to use. But this is the starting place, and chapter 12 picks that up. So in 12, we come to this transition. It's a transition in the Bible from prehistoric stories of events that were long ago. And it kind of brings it into a time now we can get time, place, people, and associate with it. And that's Abraham kind of starts that story off. This is also the story where a certain people get kind of identified as God's people. And Abram is the starter of this. So in the history of salvation, in the history of God's word, this is a critical passage. And it introduces us to Abram, and it introduces us to God as a covenant-making God. Chapter 12 has what we call the Abrahamic covenant in it. This is God's interacting with Abram and Abram agreeing. That's what a covenant is. It's an agreement between two parties. We hear that and we think it's some big Bible word, and it is. It's a very significant Bible word, but it really has to do with an agreement between two parties. In this section, it's an agreement between God and Abraham, and through Abraham, his descendants. But it's one of the significant passages here for us, and it's important for us to see this is the starting place of faith, that having an arrangement, a relationship, a agreement between the parties, God and the human, is the starting place for us. We, in our 21st century Christian language, would say you need to have a relationship with God. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. That is the starting place for your relationship. But in biblical terms, that's really the heart of a covenant too, isn't it? It's an arrangement between two parties that is going to include promises and stipulations and privileges and responsibilities. That is what a covenant is. And so we see here in chapter 12, we jump in, and it says, "The Lord said to Abram," this is the beginning of the covenant, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you." We'll come back to this because these are the stipulations and requirements that God is putting on Abram. And then God goes into the promises of the things that he will do if Abram agrees to this arrangement. Verse 2 says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. But whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, before we go on to verse 4 and see what Abram does with this, I want to just say that this begins to be the heart of the covenant. Understand, this is, again, this is what the rest of the Bible begins to build upon. This idea of the covenant that Abram and God make, this arrangement between God and this human. And it involves a promise for a place. Did you catch that? Go to the land that I'm going to show you. Place. It's going to involve a people. I'm going to make you a great nation. It's going to involve provision that God is offering to him. I will bless you and I will bless through you. And it involves purpose. The Abraham and his descendants will have a purpose because all of the world will be blessed through them. You know, this is going to be their salvation if they can hold on to it, that they will recognize that through them, God is going to bring his salvation for all the world. Sometimes that would get confused, and they would often think that they were God's chosen people, and it was for their benefit that God only loved them. But in fact, if anyone had gone back and read the original covenant, they would have seen that the reason why God had chosen this people was so that he could reveal his love to all the world. For all those who said, I'm glad I'm a Jew and not a pagan, the reason is, you know, God was hoping to reach all those all of us pagans, and draw us to himself as well. A place, a people, provision, and purpose. That is what the promise is. This is what God will do as his part of the bargain. Verse 4 says that, so Abram went, as the Lord told him, and Lot, that was his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Okay, so if God's promise is this, that he is going to give you a place and people and provision and a purpose, if that's what God's promise is in this covenant, what is Abram's part? What is our part? And that's what I want to look at here in verse 1. That's right. Thank you. So what's the first thing that God says Abram must do? To own up to his part of the arrangement, to go. That's right, go. It's like God said, go away. And Abram said, okay, I will go. But he wants him not just to go, but he wants him to go and take your family and to leave all of the rest of your people and the rest of your father's household. He's asking him to go and to leave everything of his own security behind. This is a big deal. And again, we as humans always want to, are drawn to security, drawn to what we can manage, drawn to what we can control. And yet God is inviting Abram to take a step of faith. He's basically saying, I want you to go, and in order to do that, you're going to have to trust not yourself, but you're going to need to trust me. And this becomes where the rubber meets the road for us, because we are always wrestling with that thing called trust in our hearts, aren't we? This is where all of our worry comes from. This is where all of our fears come from. This is where all of our anxieties come from. And all the stuff that just kind of makes our lives a mess, this is where it all roots out. But God is telling Abram, the key is going to be to go and to trust, not lean on your own understanding, but to trust him in the going. And to follow his lead. Where does Abram need to go? To the land I will show you. How would you like to be that your destination? God gets you up in the morning and says, okay, get out of bed and go. And you say, where? And he says, I'll show you. You just go. You go, but how would you know which way to go? How would you know if you needed to go right or left? How would you know if you need to go north or south? How would you need to go, or how would you need to know if you needed to stop or slow down? Except that you're paying attention to the one who is giving the directions. It is a following. It is a listening. It is a constant dependence upon the one who has the directions that you don't have the directions for. And there's a freedom in that, folks. I know we think that sounds awful and sounds horrible, but it's not. There's a freedom in that release of ourself to say, I am His, and He is going to guide my steps. We talk about a new year, and we don't know what's going to come in the new year, and it makes us all nervous and fearful and worried. We hear about the news, and it sounds awful for that, and awful over there, and we begin to allow our hearts to be crushed by it. God says that I will sometimes maybe give you more than you can handle. Did I say this last week? I think I did. This is going to be my theme, I guess, you know, that while we want to believe that God will never give you more than you can handle, He will. And He does so on purpose, not because He hates you, it's because He loves you. And while life will bring more than we can handle, the reason He allows that is so that we will learn to depend on Him. So we don't just go by our own understanding. We don't just try to live life by our own strength, but we allow for God to have room in our lives where we need Him. You know, I was just reading through the notes and reading some of these families who've been struggling with the fears of possibly losing their kids, whether it be with Isla or Eleanor or even little Emmy this week. And I just know that the father's heart and the mother's heart in each of them is just breaking as they see their little one so vulnerable. And the issue can be too much for us to bear, or it can be our card, our invitation to draw in and allow God's strength to meet us there and reveal Himself if we walk with open eyes, even though we don't know where we're going, even though we don't know what the outcome is going to be, even though we don't know what the result might be, and that might scare us. But if we trust, and if we follow, we have the promises, all those promises that God gave. Place, people, provision, purpose. Now, the covenant that He established, that's the Abrahamic covenant, it really is, it has been fulfilled. It's really not our covenant anymore, but the process of it still applies to us. I mean, that all the world will be blessed through you clearly is about the coming of Jesus, which would be about 2,000 years after this covenant was made, which has been about 2,000 years ago now for us. And so we see that how Jesus now becomes our covenant. You know, even Jesus would say that, you know, drink of this cup. This is the cup of the what? New covenant. Like that Abraham covenant, it's completed now. We have a new deal for you. But it's going to come with all the same promises, you know. For all who believe will not perish but will have eternal life. What is that about? It's about if we still walk in this covenant relationship, this arrangement with God, that He is going to walk us through and He's going to reveal Himself to us. And as we trust Him and as we follow, that He will begin to reveal Himself and show Himself faithful as He always has. And so here we go, that if we go, if we trust, if we follow, then we can trust that God is going to be the one who brings the results. Again, part of the covenant was, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. This is a promise that is part of God's covenantal nature that we access as we move in this area of trust. So again, you know, darn it, there it is. There's my word, trust, right? Doesn't have to be your word, but that's the word. So as we move into this year, again, we're going to be looking at Abraham these next few weeks. I want to continue to just say, read ahead if you would. It'll be awesome to see as we interact with this. We're going to be looking at things about how to go, how to step, how to follow, how to feel His leading. We're going to be talking about what to do when we mess up, because we will. When we want to take control back, when we want to do things wrong, when we want to try to cover or what have you. We'll be looking at ways of how we can begin to allow our lives to be so reflective of our trust that it begins to touch others, how it is that we can order our life in the way of our time and our talent and our resources to allow us to walk more clearly by faith. There's going to be a lot in these next few weeks that we're going to come out of this life as going to be an option for us to trust Jesus a little bit more with 2022. Okay? And so we're going to give God praise for this year, even in advance, and just invite him to come and fill it with his sense. I'm going to invite our worship team forward, and as I do, I'm going to pray over us. Father, we thank you for your goodness that has been on display, even in the midst of crisis times and deep difficulties. God, we thank you for your goodness and for your promises, for that, even that promise to Abraham of a place and a people, your provision and your purpose. God, I pray that would still be for us, that we would find our place, our niche, that we would find your people to surround us, that we would rely on your provision, and we would discern and discover your purposes for us through all the circumstance that life brings to us. So guide us in these next steps as we launch into this new year. Help us as we go and as we trust and as we follow. In Jesus' name, amen.